Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. Chunky's on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. You want to follow along on TV each and every morning. Presented by EMP 180 Weight Loss Structure Accountability Results. They are the standard for weight loss in the D.C. area. EMP180weightloss.com. Every Wednesday at this time, we're joined on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline by Mike Rizzo, President of Baseball Ops, GM of the Washington Nationals, as we go in the clubhouse with Mike Rizzo, presented by Burke and Herbert Bank, Unexpectedly Different. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, fellas. How are you?
Hello.
Have you
Mike.
Heard Jason's imitation of you in your intro yet?
No, let's hear it.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
I like it.
What's going on? Are you coming to Dudley's? Come on out. Free beers.
It's a very
not bad. Not bad.
It's a very chipper because you're all look. You're welcome. Is you're always very chipper and high energy, which is great. That's what you want. Regardless of what the team is doing. And yesterday, I don't know, was it a difficult day for you to part with guys who've been a big part of the team, especially Daniel Murphy, who's been such a pivotal player for the last couple of seasons?
Yeah, one of the toughest days I've had as a GM, seriously. With the frustration and the disappointment of the way we're performing on the field, and then, you know, that predicates moves, you know, to get rid of two of the most wonderful guys that I've ever been around in Murphy and Adams. And those are tough conversations to have with great players. Davey and I, you know, we brought him in and to the office and talked to him. And those are difficult discussions because, you know, Murph and I have been together for three seasons and we've come very, very close. And he's a, you know, all-star caliber player, and Matt Adams has been just an awesome new arrival this year, and it was a tough day yesterday for us.
Was there a mandate or a deadline from the owners as to when you might have to make some moves selling off players? I know yesterday you said, I know what the standings say and what the calendar says, and Davey Martinez, the manager, talked about Sunday being a pivotal game, and that was a game which you guys lost. I think it was 12-1. Mm-hmm. Was there a mandate from on high, or how did this work?
Well, no, there was a plan in place and a procedure in place of, you know, what we were going to do at the trade deadline. And it's predicated on a lot of different things. And these things don't happen in a day. They have to be planned out because there's a procedure that everybody goes on trade waivers. So you put the players on waivers, some pass through, some get claimed. The team that claims the player, they could either just be doing it to block the other teams from getting them, or they really want to have interest, or they have mild interest. So the plan was that we have put throughout the process people through waivers and that we don't know about and that type of thing. And we just felt that this group of players, the kind of the free agents to be, we put on waivers after going into that Chicago St. Louis road trip, because we thought that we would kind of know where we were in the world at that time. And we placed them out there and then we started negotiating if there was deals in place. There was deals that made sense for us for those two players. There were deals that didn't make sense for other players and we didn't make them. So, you know, there's a strategy in place and a plan in place for everything we do at this time of year. And this is just what we decided to do at this juncture.
Mike, I understand that, you know, you put guys on waivers all the time. It's kind of a natural thing that happens throughout a season. But I'm wondering, with this particular group, the impending free agents, was this the first time you put this group through waivers, like on Friday or whenever you did it?
No, we filtered a few people through before and we'll filter a couple of people through after beyond today. So
right.
it was just a handful of players. There's a maximum of six players you could put per day on the trade waiver wire.
I got gotcha. That's an exhausting job in and of itself, right? I mean, just monitoring what everyone else is doing. I don't even, you know what I mean? I mean, my God, you want to make sure you're blocking your competition potentially? Or, you know, what's the downside if you go in there and just claim all the time to make sure, let's say, the Braves don't pick him up? I mean, is that the sort of thing that the Nats are involved in?
Oh, sure. There's things that we claim players all the time and block players and, you know, try and trade for players during this time. You know, the downside is that you may claim a player and you're going to get him. And that's sometimes.
Well, how would you get him? You'd have to give up. So you might just claim him and then, like, in bad faith negotiate. Could you do that?
The team can claim a player and negotiate a trade. And then if the other team doesn't want to do the trade, the team that has the player could just say, okay, you've got him.
Just
so you have the claim. You get the team.
You just get to take him. Wow.
Correct.
So with the Bryce thing, the claim by the Dodgers, is that strictly a block move by the Dodgers?
It seems like it. Yeah. It seemed like it. We didn't have any meaningful discussions about anything. So it looked like it was just a block.
Hey, regarding Daniel, was that also kind of a, you know, thank you, Daniel, for these 3 years here. Here's a chance to go win a World Series, or is it strictly a business deal?
You know, there's a lot of things that go into it. That has something to do with it. I think it's the lesser of the reasons. You know, let's face it. There's monetary reasons to do it. You know, we've saved yesterday about, you know, $6 million altogether with Matty and Daniel moving on. We got some players. We got some good young players in return that our scouts like. It gives our younger guys an opportunity to play. Like a Defoe, and we have to make decisions on Defoe. Is he an everyday major league player, and that type of thing? Get other guys some at bats, like a Stevenson, and those type of things. So it's a process that there's a lot of different reasons for it, and the biggest reason is that we put ourselves in a position that we had to sell off, a three-time All-Star and a really good bench player. That's the frustrating part about it is that. You know, we have put ourselves in the position that we're thinking about, moving on from some of our really, really good Nationals players.
Mike, I know this. If you're a real competitor, it's always disappointing if you don't win the whole thing, right? It doesn't matter what level you're at. It could be at high school football, whatever, Major League Baseball, Super Bowl, whatever. So I know in how many years you've been in pro baseball, 40-plus years of your life, that most seasons end in disappointment. But I'm wondering, where do you rank this season? How disappointing is this season? Let's just go in recent history. The World Series, a bust year with Davey, the second Matt Williams year, this year. Where does this one rank?
Oh, this one's up there with the most frustrating year that we've had, and most disappointing, probably up there too. The frustrating part about it is that we just can't seem to get a rhythm. We can't seem to stay healthy in one sector of the roster. And, we get one guy back and we put another big cog of the team on the disabled list. So I think that's the frustrating part. And I think that, this ranks up there with some of the most disappointing teams that we've had, but it's also, this is my 37th year in professional baseball, so I've seen it all. I've won World Series and lost in playoffs in heartbreaking fashion. To be as inconsistent as we have been and is something that doesn't sit well with Davey or I, and that's something that we have to fix.
Hmm. Yeah, people are asking and questioning, well, what would this team be like with Dusty or Manager X instead of Davey? And that's just the way it works in this business. When they say if Dusty was let go and he won 95 and 97, it wasn't good enough to just get to the first round, the natural answer to that is, well, if Davey doesn't get there, how can they keep him? How do you answer that?
Well, Davey's a great manager. He's a vibrant personality. He's a great X's and O's guy. He communicates great with the players. He's exactly the guy that we thought we were hiring this year. He's upbeat and positive. And as you heard Jim say on many occasions, as you heard Murph endorse him yesterday, the players love playing for him. This is far from a manager problem. This year's a disappointment. And you know, if you're going to judge David Martinez on how the players respond to him, just look at last night's game with the disappointment and the the bad feelings because Murph and Matt Adams left. This team still grinded it out and played an extremely tough game and run through the wall for the man. And and the endorsement of the players, I think, is what's important. And he has that in spades down in the clubhouse.
Mike, I like to ask the tough questions. Was Chelsea was Chelsea Jane's story about you and Sean Kelly accurate?
Well, those things, what happens in the clubhouse stays in the clubhouse. I, I've got no malice towards Sean Kelly. I signed him to a 3-year contract, and we got along great in our Nationals days. And I wish him well with Oakland, and he's got a chance to, to pitch meaningful games in September and October, and that's what it's all about.
So he's 6'2", 240. You really going to fight him, Mike?
Yeah, you think you can take him?
Mike's a scrapper. I think he backs off from anybody.
He's 6'2", 240.
Chelsea pointed out he couldn't fully extend his right arm, though. So,
yeah, how's he going to punch you?
We'll we'll leave that for another day.
Mike is down to fight anybody.
He's a feisty Italian.
I know he is, but I mean, like, how big? Give me a big guy. Aaron Judge. You gotta fight Aaron Judge, Mike.
Hey, in the right circumstance, you gotta do what you have to do, and you have to fight. And I've been in fights before, and I'll probably be in a fight again in my life. So,
when's your last fight?
I've been fighting my whole life.
When is your last actual
That's a good
fight?
Question.
Yeah, last
where
you threw hands and you made contact, and somebody made contact with you with punches.
It wasn't that long ago, fellas. I'm telling you.
It was probably when Strasburg told me he didn't want to pitch last year.
Yeah, that or Joe Simpson. He might have knocked out Joe
Speaking
Simpson.
Speaking of Strasburg.
Yeah. Oh, I did want to ask. Strasburg's back. What do you expect from him? What can we expect tonight? We're going to be in the 106.7 The Fan section. I know Valdez made an off-air invitation. You're more than welcome to sit with us. It's the Junkies and a bunch of our listeners hanging out in Section 106, I believe.
You'll swing by.
I might stop by and say hello, fellas.
That would be nice.
That'd be awesome.
Should. What do you expect from Strauss?
It's going to be a beautiful night tonight.
Well, yeah, it is.
What do you expect from Strauss tonight? I mean, you have full repertoire of everything?
Oh, yeah. Just be himself and, get stretched out as much as he can and, give us a chance to win the ball game, bring the bullpen in and let's win a baseball game. That's what we're all about. You know, we're still in there battling and I know there's a handful of games left and we're going to play our best and try and win every game. And until we're mathematically eliminated, we're going to try and win this damn thing. But we get it. We're realistic. We know what the schedule says. We know what the calendar says and we know what the standings say, but this team is in it to win it, man. And then we're going to play hard baseball and good baseball till the end.
Of course you are. Now, I know it's a long shot, but do you have a number in your head in terms of total wins that would get this division won?
I think we're our analytical people are kind of circling like an 88, I think would give us a good chance to, I think 88 wins the division, whoever has the 88, Atlanta, Philly, or us.
Okay. So that's 25-9. You guys got 25 out of 36 in you?
Yeah, you never know. You never know what long winning streaks are predicated by your starting pitching, and you'll go as far as your starting pitching takes you. We like the fact that Strauss has been injected into the rotation, and we'll see where we go.
Actually, that's bad math. 25-11. 25-11.
Mike, it's time for the Burke and Herbert Bank Fan Question of the Week. Yesterday on the Fans Afternoon Show, USA Today's Bob Nightingale told Chad Dukes this year is, quote, the most embarrassing season in Nats franchise history, even dating back to the Expos days. There are no bigger collection of underperformers. This is by far the biggest embarrassment in baseball, end quote. Are these comments too extreme from Rich in Centerville?
They are a little extreme. The most embarrassing, I think we're in the middle of the pack in record. That's the great thing about baseball. Everyone has their opinion, and when you have the Billy Pulpit to spout those opinions on the radio or in the USA Today, that's fine. That's what uh, that's what Dave gets paid for. I know Dave very, very well, and he knows the game very,
I think it was
very
Bob
well,
Nightingale, wasn't it?
Bob Nightingale.
Bob Nightingale. Yeah. I think they're a little extreme, but hey, to each his own.
Yeah, I think the Orioles are more embarrassed.
He better be ready to throw hands next time he sees Mike.
Yeah.
All right, Mike. Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right, fellas.
Right. Section, pleasure, guys.
Section
106. We'll
see you tonight.
Sounds
cool
good.
With that,
okay. See you there.
Yeah. Okay, buddy.
Buy cakes of beer.
I give it a 5% chance he might stop by.
He might.
I think he might stop by.
Might maybe 25%.
He might stop by.
I think he strolls through the ballpark on game days.
If Jason sent him a text or something.
Does he? So you want him to come by the 106.7 fan section?
I was just doing shtick with him off air. And then he was like, yeah, I'll come by.
He doesn't have to. He's a busy
man. I don't expect him.
He does a little in the glad handy before games.
We're in the Budweiser Terrace, I believe, before the game.
Yep.
And then we head over to section 106.
Correct.
All right, so maybe you will.
How pathetic is it? My first time there this year is basically eliminated.
I think it's only my third.
I just haven't been out there this year. Been too busy.
Yeah. Last time I was there.
How much does Strasburg being stretched out mean? Five innings?
Yeah, five and a third.
Probably.
Did he say that? I didn't even
he
catch
said,
that.
Well, yeah, you asked.
I didn't even catch
I
that
can't
part
remember
of it.
Who
no,
asked
I did.
About Strasburg.
I remember the full repertoire, or whatever. He said normal Strasburg, and then I punched out.
No, but he said stretch him out.
Oh. Yeah.
Oh, well.
I'll put $100 fun. He doesn't pitch into the seventh.
Oh, yeah. It's not going to do that.
All right. Do we have Billy year? Bird next?
Yes.
Billy Bird's in town. Of course, he's doing two shows at the MGM National Harbor this Friday night, 7 and 10 p.m. For tickets, go to BillBird.com. We'll talk to Billy when we come back.
Bella.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yeah, what do you do? Do you come in at like 4 o'clock that day, then crank out two shows, basically print money, and then leave?
You just sounded like the devil there. I don't know what just happened there. All of a sudden, your voice slowed down. What did you just say?
Do you just show up, like, I don't know, a few hours before, you do your two shows, and then you roll, right?
Yeah, I got the kid now, so I've got to come back. You know, I don't need any cats in the cradle being sung to me when she's 18, you know?
Oh, yeah, that's
wow.
Right.
Wow, so you just
I needed
in.
My dad, but he was in Berlin telling his jokes on a stupid stage. Never found him funny. He's a dick. Yeah.
That's great.
I don't know if you guys are paying attention, but for the second time this season, the Boston Red Sox have lost 3 games in a row.
Yes,
oh, boo-hoo!
I have paid attention.
Have you looked at the Nats standings at this point?
No, I know. Well, listen. Well, what did you think was going to happen? You guys have lost 2 baseball teams. Okay, there's something about it's like poltergeist. I don't know. You're on like some Native American burial ground or something. I don't know what's going on out there. But you already had the Senators twice. They became the Twins, and the next one became the Rangers.
Right. It's been
your team you got now is going to become the Expos again.
Maybe.
They're going to move back like the Raiders.
Well, we've been talking.
No, this is what concerns me. This is what concerns me. Is everybody always freaks out about regular season stats because a team is beating on a bunch of teams that they're not going to see in October. And everybody is sleeping on Terry Francona, who's still the best manager in baseball as far as I'm concerned. And the Cleveland Indians are making the Red Sox look like a 500 baseball team rather than a team that was 50 games over 500.
Why? How have they done heads up against the Indians?
Well, the Indians just took the first two in the series. The Indians are really good, Bill. I mean, they're really good.
They are really good. And this is the thing. Terry knows how to matchups and all of that type of stuff. He just knows.
But you know what? It doesn't help that Chris Sale goes on the DL every 10 minutes.
No, they only shut him down for 10 days.
Yeah, but it's on twice.
Chris Sale is not our problem. for sales. Now, we have allegedly the 1-2 punch. Price is our problem. He's a head case. That's what I don't like.
This is also
what I love about it.
I know.
He told Dennis Eckersley to get the F out of here. When you talking to a Hall of Famer like that, and, you know, he went into Yankee Stadium, you know, where you see what you're made of, and he got shelled.
I know.
Now,
I do worry about judging him
on one game. Yes. So we don't have a 1-2 punch.
It's funny when Bill comes on, we end up just talking Boston sports. I love it. I'm a little worried about the Red Sox too. I mean, they're really good. They're obviously the best team record wise, but in the postseason, I'm not so sure. In a best of five, I'm not sure if they're better than Cleveland.
No, but I remember people always freak out about regular season stats. There was a particular Hall of Fame NFL quarterback, and if you wanted 500 yards in November, that was your guy. And everybody was like, look at all the touchdowns he threw. Look at all that. It's like, oh, against Jacksonville, whoever sucked that year, the Browns, you know. And then he would lose at home to, like, the Chargers. The 9-7 Chargers, 8-8 Chargers, two years in a row. So, I mean, when you look at regular season stats, you got to be looking at just the teams that are going to be there in October, because everything else is just BS.
Joined by comedian Bill Burr. You can go check him out. MGM National Harbor on Friday. Shows at 7 p.m. and 10 p.m. Get your tickets at BillBurr.com. You have a lot going on. Congrats on the Netflix series. I think you have a third season coming out. I have to tell you, I saw you on the show Crashing on HBO, and I didn't even know not much about that show. I found myself liking that show. If I recall your episode, you were basically having the other comedian, you were kind of teaching him how to man up, right? That looked like it was a fun show.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. And the script was completely out the window. I actually learned the lines. That's one of the shows you don't need to learn the lines. They're just like, yeah, this is the gist of the scene. All right, just kind of steer it in this direction. Don't kill off any characters. And we ought to be out of here by 2.
Oh, I would hate that.
Do you like that?
I need a script, man.
Yeah, do you like working that way?
Yeah, it was the most fun I've had. Working on anything. Yeah, because I actually knew the lines. So I would do the lines for a couple of takes, and then it was just like, all right.
Right.
Now let's just screw around and see what happens.
Right. That show's getting a lot of run, and people are loving that show.
Yeah, it's a very funny show. And you know something else that actually blows my mind is how much they rebuilt the They made a set that was the Boston Comedy Club, famous club that no longer exists in New York. And when I tell you, they got every stain on the floor. I mean, it was just insane. I actually shot a video, so I got somewhere on my phone when I went in. I'm on a soundstage, and then I walk into this
like
comedy
club
on the soundstage. I walk in there, and it's like I was transported back in time 20 years.
Right.
Crazy.
You got to put it out there. You didn't put that like on your YouTube or anything?
No, I stink at all of that stuff.
What's your
know what I mean? All those stupid hashtags that people have. They're all just self-serving as they pretend to care about people. Like hashtag things I don't tolerate. Bigotry, mean people. It's like, will you shut up? I mean, what do you have to demonstrate that you don't tolerate any of those things? You're just writing it.
Right.
What was it like for you, Bill?
Being the Klan, for all I know.
Bill, when you were first starting, I think, you know, I read on Wikipedia, I think you started in like the 90s, the early 90s. What was it like? When did you finally get over?
Yeah, that was back when I had to crank my car to start it up. You know, I had a little horn.
Right.
Aruga. Yeah, way, way back in the day. What was the question? What was it like starting out?
No,
yeah.
Just like,
I mean,
how
was
long?
It like? I mean, on that show, look, that show represents somebody who's trying to break into it and really grinding in comedy clubs and crashing on people's couches. What was it like in the early years for you, and when did you finally kind of get over?
Well, I'll tell you, is Pete Holmes is showing, you know, New York is definitely tough to get into. But what was funny was when he came to New York, that Boston Comedy Club, it was infinitely an easier club. Just because Giuliani had come in and parked a police truck like a block away at Washington Square Park, and he got all the drug dealers and everybody like that out of there. Because, like, when you first came down there, it was like people were, you know, smoke, you know, dealing drugs right out in front of the damn place. And you went in there, and there was just, like, it was, I don't know, man. It was just, it was a lot. Like, Boston wasn't that bad as far as, like, it was a bunch of angry white people, and that's what I was. So it was kind of yelling into an echo chamber. But when I went down to New York, that was like, you know, it was everybody, black, white, Puerto Rican, Jewish, and then everybody had like this attitude. Whether they were tough or not, you had to at least pretend you were tough just so people wouldn't, you know, some psychos trying to choose the weak one in the herd, you didn't get picked. So
right.
The vibe was a lot, was definitely a lot different. And there was a bunch of comics that they used to hide uptown. Like they wouldn't go down to the Village because the Village was a lot more edgier and everything like that. I mean, those days are like completely gone though. I mean, Brooklyn isn't even edgy anymore from what I've seen. It's just like, I was down there with my father-in-law and we were standing in Brooklyn and he was just taking it all in. He's like, wow, this is like an amusement park now. It's like, yeah.
Is there a
they
club?
Got people that, like,
go ahead. I didn't want to interrupt you.
Oh, they just got people like riding down the shore of Brooklyn on like bicycles on these manicured like public areas. And it's just like, you know, when I first came to New York, along that shore, it's just, that's where you dumped a body. In fact, when I did my Law and Order, like every actor does in New York, you got to do Law and Order.
Right.
That's where we shot and it was creepy as hell. And that was like, it was right after 9/11. Cause I remember.
Oh, we lost him for a second. He's going to come back. I know he's going to come back.
You can feel it. You can sense it.
I think we did lose him.
I'll say it's encouraging to hear because Kelsey's going to NYU, which is Greenwich Village, and Brooklyn's right there.
Right.
It's a lot nicer than it was, what he's saying, in the early 2000s.
Greenwich Village is so nice. Love the Village.
I was going to ask him, is there a club
Wouldn't
now?
Want to go to school there, but I love the Village.
Is there a club now that's known? Like I know, I always assumed like it's New York. Like you always say, if you make it in New York, you make it anywhere. Is there a club that's known for if you can hit at that club? You've been like, is there one club that's the toughest club
in New York City?
To anywhere in the country.
Let's ask Bill.
Bill, is there, I always say, like, if you can make it in New York, you make it anywhere, blah, blah, blah. I suppose that's probably true. But is there one club that's known to be, like, the toughest club to get over in?
I don't even know anymore. You'd have to ask somebody younger. I'm an old man. I play casinos now.
Right. Yeah, you're a big star. When you were coming up.
Well. Oh, when I was coming up, that was the Boston Comedy Club.
For sure.
Boston Comedy Club, is, as far as like that were actually legit clubs, then there were sort of satellite rooms that a lot of comedians ran. There was a place this guy, Talent, ran called La Bar Bat. It was a really nice place, but it was like this after-work crowd on a Tuesday night, and it was like... It was kind of like doing Showtime at the Apollo a lot, in a lot of ways. You didn't necessarily get booed off, but like I played that place. Say I played it 10 times. I killed first, which is why I kept coming back.
Right.
I killed, I bombed, I killed, I bombed, I killed, I bombed, I killed, I bombed. Like I never figured that room out.
Right.
So I could never go in there and relax. I was always sitting there like, what's going to happen on this one? Is it going to go well? Am I going to like be contemplating why I ever got into this business? It was one of those places.
Would it crush your soul when you would bomb, or would you get kind of a perverse pleasure out of it?
No, initially it was pretty humiliating.
Right.
And then when you get a little more seasoned, it's just like frustrating. You're mad at yourself, or maybe you're mad at the setup.
Because these casinos are harder to play.
Then after a while, it just kind of got funny. But
right.
I always found, though, if you bombed, if you 100% up at the bar, you know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
But if you
can't
did
curse.
That.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
That's yeah, okay.
It's
fine.
That's okay. It's all right.
Yeah. All right, if I'll do that. You'd be like this stupid so-and-so.
Right.
The least he could do is... It shut the TVs off up at the bar, but I found if you did that 100%, then you didn't really learn anything, and it was better to try and think what you could have done because it would help you in the future. And that's what actually helped me in the future when I did that Philly gig where right. I got booed and oh. I tried because I got booed in Vegas and I, once again, I didn't leave the stage.
Yeah.
But I didn't really go at him. And I remember when I was walking back to my hotel room, I mean, it was definitely a crazy setup or whatever the show. But I remember thinking, like, just kept picturing the people in the crowd. I'm like, you let that guy boo you?
Right. Did you
that
ever
fat get... guy wearing, that fat guy wearing the vest? You didn't say anything about that? You at least could have said something about that.
After the Philly rant, that was like 10 years ago. But after that, did you get threatened at all by
well,
anybody? It was what? 12 years ago?
Yeah.
Did you ever get threatened?
No, that's the thing about it. People in Philly, they boo somebody like that like every 20 minutes. So... they didn't even remember.
Right.
Like when I came back, like I brought it up and they were like, what? Oh, yeah. That's right. Anyways, we used to sit there and like, you know, when someone was going to sing the national anthem or something like that, Keith Robinson used to always call me up when they would sing it in Philly. And he'd be like, you watching this? I'm like, I got it on. And we used to watch people get booed all the time. My favorite one ever was when Destiny's Child got booed at the NBA Finals. They came out at halftime, and I swear to God, one of them was wearing like a glitter. It was the 76ers versus the Lakers.
Right.
And you cannot find this clip on the internet. This is how much power Beyonce has on money, right? Right. If I got booed, you'd be able to watch it for the rest of your life, right?
Right.
One of them had on a glitter 76ers jersey with booty shorts on. Right. All right. The other one had on a Lakers. And then the other one in the middle had it just NBA.
Right.
So it was almost worse than if they all just came out wearing Lakers stuff. I think Philly fans would have respected them. Like, at least they picked a team.
Right, right.
But they didn't. They came out there and they just
all
were
neutral.
Like.
Neutral. Right.
Yeah, all neutral. I remember that booty, the end of that song, you know, Bootylicious, however the hell that thing is. Da-da-da-da, Bootylicious. And they just go, boom! And I remember Beyonce like gasped. She went like, oh, like that. And they immediately cut to a commercial.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Eric, have you ever seen the
Philly rant? Of course.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's just, if you haven't seen it, just YouTube it. It's just classic. It's classic Burr. Just killing Philly people. Just right. Killing them.
No, I know. Everybody has to Google it.
Don't,
right.
Don't YouTube it at work, though. Don't YouTube it at work.
Yeah, definitely don't.
All right.
Bill. All right. It's Billy Burr. Of course, he's going to perform at two shows. He's going to fly in. He'll be here for about a couple hours. Take about, a couple hundred grand from you. And then go home to his family.
Oh, that's tacky. I could get on your show and sit there playing with myself, talking about how my golf game's off. And oh, by the way, did the Senators win last night? And rake in my money. Why are you acting like you're not in the gated community too, you elitist?
That's a great point.
Very true.
All right.
It's going to be at MGM National this Friday night, 7 and 10 p.m. For tickets, go to BillBurr.com. Next time, Billy, let's get you in studio. Thank you, bud.
We got a much smaller gate.
Yeah, it's so not
small.
As big as Billy's. Thank you,
I'm
pal.
Not in a gated community. See? I tricked you into that, but you are. All right.
Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, Bill.
Can I talk some elitist crap here real quick?
Yeah, go.
All right. So I've been on the road for 26 years. In the last 5 years, I finally got up to the front of the plane,
right.
Group one,
right.
Boarding first.
Right.
And now they've invented like 20 groups that go on in front of group one.
Yeah.
I swear to God, I'm slowly dying. It's like any active military and all these people. I'm literally standing there. Did you see action? Did you see action over there? You better be Rambo, buddy, and not just sitting in there in some camouflage cubicle ordering grenades that you're never going to throw, right? Then it's anybody with kids, which is fine. Anybody with a limp. Then it's just like anybody with red shirt. It's a red shirt day. Dude, I was standing there. I literally just saw this random guy. He just walks on. Not in the military, didn't have a kid, all his limbs were working fine.
Right.
I'm sitting there like, who the F is that guy? It's unreal. Anyway.
Yep. All right.
Okay. I'm sorry. I gotta go.
No, I like it.
Right, we'll
thank
you.
Thank you, Bill. Appreciate it, buddy. Bill Burr,
right.
Buddy. Get your well, tickets. BillBurr.com.
He's the best. All right, remember, you can join us tonight at the Nats game. Nationals take on the Phillies tonight. Strasburg on the mound tonight. It is 106.7 The Fan night at Nationals Park. Right now, 10th caller at 800-636-1067. We'll hook you up with some tickets. You also receive a pair of passes to watch Nats take BP before the game. Special game tickets are on sale now and available. So check them out. Get your tickets. You got to show up. We're going to be hanging out in the Budweiser Terrace, I believe, before the game.
Mm-hmm, that's correct.
And then we head on over to Section 106.
Should I bring my glove?
Yes, bring your glove. And your binoculars.
I'm not bringing a glove.
I don't know what row you're in.
I'm in row Y.
Bring your fanny pack,
I'm in row
too.
Y as well.
Yeah.
Buy some peanuts outside the stadium, put them in your fanny pack.
That's a serious home run to get it to row Y.
Yeah, somebody has to really jack it out.
That's a shot.
I got row Z.
Yeah.
Still a good seat. Not a bad spot.
That's a good time. Camaraderie.
Yes.
I'm seeing Grant just tweeted that that he and Danny are going to be hanging out with Charlie and Dave for the third inning.
Oh,
they're
going
to do the bit that we did.
Oh, you know what? More power to them.
Yeah.
They'll have a great time. Just as long as Cakes and EB are not
right. CK doesn't even ask us
anymore.
Yeah.
Here, here's
the
deal
thing.
With our grumpiness.
We had so much fun, but we just kind of we underestimated how diehard Caps fans are, and they don't care about you like shticking it up with when we did it with the locker and Joe. We were just having fun with them.
They wanted to hear a breakdown
they were actually enjoying the real game.
Right.
And for Cakes and I, it was a big party.
Right.
We went in there and party.
We were hanging out.
You were at least buzzed. Well, a lot of people say you were drunk.
Oh, we had two or three beers at least before we went up into the booth.
Yeah. I mean, it was a party. So we went in there in party mode, and it went over seriously like a fart in church.
Yeah, like all the Caps purists and snobs back in the day.
I couldn't wait to see how much fun people had with it. And it was like more people than
you got
wished death on Post Malone.
You got crushed.
I remember.
So much fun.
I just remember thinking, thank God it was not a part of that.
Yeah. Why has Cakes always had bad experiences at Caps games? Because the other thing is you predicted.
That was legitimately low IQ.
That was stupidity.
That was just stupidity.
I didn't know what I was doing.
Even in the Caps arena. Your assumption that everybody knew the
deal. The shtick. Yeah.
Yeah, but that stuff's ancient history because my latest experiences with the Caps have all been positive.
Well, yeah,
going to the
stands.
Going to the watch party for game one. Now, they lost that game, which kind of sucked, of the Stanley Cup final.
But sitting there, you
but
can't
I went
mess that
to game
up.
Four where we pounded the Vegas Golden
Again,
Knights.
Just sitting there.
And I got to, I was one of the co-hosts for the pregame entertainment for game four. That went well.
But
the most recent things, there's been an uptick.
We definitely learned a lesson, though. And
we won the Stanley Cup, by the way. Did I mention that?
Tonight, are we doing anything? Like in years
I'm
past,
on
106.7 The Fan night, we've thrown out the opening pitch. We've done like a wacky thing with the presidents. I think we just held the
line. We held the ribbon at the end.
They haven't asked us to do anything. Keep it that way.
We're not doing the third inning with Charlie and Dave.
I don't want to do that. I just want to go to the game and, you know, eat nachos.
Yeah.
That's all I want to do.
I'm going to go hang with
all the nachos you want.
I'm going to hang with Chad for a little bit pregame, I think around 6 p.m.
Probably going to have some beers.
And then I'm going to have a Bud Light. And then I'm going to hang out with my brother and my nephews. And I hope a ball doesn't smash me in the head at some point during the game.
I think you're safe in row Y.
I think I'm good.
Which is where I am,
I think
too.
I'm good to go.
And you're going
to
bet on the game.
Probably not. That part probably won't happen.
And maybe Mike Rizzo will stop by to say hello.
Maybe he will.
Definitely possible.
That could happen.
But my advice to Grant and Danny is just, and they'll do it anyway because they're pros, but just keep it to a dull roar. Just kind of chime in only if they talk to you. Because we made it all about Cakes and EB.
Those guys will make it about the Nationals.
Yeah.
They'll be appropriate.
Yeah. Danny's a comic. So, I mean, he's going to want it. Going to be that tug.
Yeah, but he's also a national seam head. So it'll be seamless.
But I got to imagine it's going to be hard for Danny to not just kind of grab the mic and do some shtick.
He'll be okay. I did
something for Nats season ticket holders with Grant and Danny.
Yeah.
And I wasn't shticking it up necessarily, but I remember there was a Q&A. And the guys gave me such a hard time because the question came from somebody.
You talk too much?
No. The question came from somebody who said, what are they going to do? I think Ramos was hurt and the back was hurt. And the playoffs were about to start. And the guy was like, What are they going to do with catcher? I was like, they're going to play the next man up, the backup. What do you think they're going to do?
Right.
and they wanted to do like a 3-minute breakdown.
What kind of answer did they want for that question?
I think they wanted the 3-minute breakdown that Grant and Danny gave about who was better.
Something you couldn't give them.
They didn't want what you were offering.
Right. I would have said they play the backup catcher, right, just like you would have
exactly.
said.
What do you think they're going to do? I can't remember the backup was at the time.
Well, anytime you're playing the backup catcher,
Kurt
you're in
Suzuki,
trouble.
They're going to play Jose Lobaton.
Yeah,
is that who
I think it was?
Maybe
that's
it was Lobaton.
Like, what do you think they're going to do? Lobaton.
Where's Lobaton?
Where is he? I don't know. He's probably bagging groceries somewhere. I don't know where he is.
Isn't that driving UPS?
There it is, UPS again.
Anyways, 106.7 The Fan Night is tonight. We hope you can join us. If you want to swing by and say hello, we'll be hanging out in Section 106.
Yes, deep. Go to row Y. You're going to see your boy Cakes and Row Z. Valdez will be there.
Yes. All right, got to get
big
out of here.
In.
For Bish, Cakes, EB, I'm JP. We'll see you tomorrow. Grant Danny,
be
they're
safe,
coming up
everybody.
Next on The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.